Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 125. If you're listening on drop date, it's September 6th. This is the official podcast of recording podcasts from the home country that produced Manny Ramirez and Rafael Devers and all of your favorite Red Sox, Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, everybody, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so wherever you're getting your podcast. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out so much when you guys do that. Also on YouTube, on the plate or on the WEI page, we got a Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on those videos. Also helps us out so much when you guys do that. And on the socials, at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Pat and here with Joe, who's in for Sammy. And this episode's dropping on game one of the Red Sox-White Sox series. Always great to face the White Sox the day after the season. Or maybe not. I don't know. Some people think the season's been over for a month. Some people think the season's been over for 2 weeks. We kind of just acknowledged on the last episode that the season is either over or they're out of contention, and a lot of shit would need to go right for them to actually get back into contention, which is basically a line teetering way of saying the season's over. But that said, they are playing the Chicago White Sox, and Pat and Joe, wait till I tell you something about this White Sox team. They are 32-109. They are 32-109. Though they are 1-0 in their last one games. However, before that last one game, they had lost 45 out of their last 50 games. I don't even know what to say to that.
Easiest thing to say. They're the worst team in MLB history. And you can say that factually instead of just putting it out there as a hot take. This is the worst team in Major League Baseball history. They've been playing this for 170 years or so. They've been playing it for a long time. So
I can't even like process how I would feel if the Red Sox were that bad. Like, remember how 2018 they won 108 regular season games, and it just felt like, oh my God, like they win like every game. They're the White Sox are gonna blow past 108. Like, holy crap. Like, that's horrendous. How do people, there's no way people watch the games consistently. I would be stunned if there was someone like Gordo in Chicago who has watched all but one game. I would rip my eyeballs out about 60 games into that. They are so bad. So bad.
Which is going to make it so interesting, because the Red Sox have played so badly lately. It's like, how bad can it actually get? Like, are they actually going to lose a series to the White Sox? Or are they going to win a series? Or are they going to sweep a series? Like, that's why you have to teeter the line a little bit, because there's a chance here that the Red Sox win all three games against the White Sox, and the Twins or the Royals, who at this moment are both 5.5 ahead of the Red Sox, lose 2 out of 3 in a series, and then bang, like all of a sudden, like, are they technically back in contention? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be holding my breath. Like, that's just where I'm at, and I'm not going to BS around with you guys, but I'm going to give you some fun fact. Or there is one super, super fun fact with one of these pitchers that's starting. So I'm going to give you the pitching matchups. It's the third one. So the first game is Nick Pivetta versus Davis Martin, who actually isn't bad. Right-handed pitcher, 3.62 ERA this year. He hasn't been that bad. And that says a lot considering who you're facing and who the players on this team are. Game two, Cooper Criswell versus Garrett Crochet. I get Garrett Crochet, terrible matchup for the Red Sox, left-handed pitcher, stud. At the same time, he hasn't recorded an out in the fifth inning in 10 consecutive outings. They are being really, really careful with this guy. So we'll see what happens in that game. Like, I don't know how many innings he's going to throw. I don't he could be super efficient with the Red Sox and go six in 65 pitches. Like, who knows? But at the same time, if the Red Sox put together good at bats, maybe he's out of the game, like with through three and a third. It's happened with him recently. Third game, Brian Bayo versus Chris Flexen. I want you guys to take a guess at how many consecutive games Chris Flexen has pitched that the White Sox have lost. Does that make sense?
Oh, I feel like I've seen this stat before. I gotta remember.
They've lost a number of games in a row that this man has pitched.
First year at Chicago?
Believe so, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna
All
guess
this year.
I bet you they've lost every single Chris Flexen start. I bet you they've lost 18 games.
Yeah, I was gonna say like 16 or 17.
So he's thrown 29 games. I'm gonna try to pull it up and see how many of these are starts. I don't think he's been a starter the full season.
Yeah, because that's the situation that like Tanner Houck is going. Even when he starts, you can't win when he starts.
Oh shit, he has started. He started mostly. He's thrown 29 games. 26 of these are starts. Are you ready for the number for how many consecutive games pitched? And I guess these are probably all starts that he has lost.
Hit me.
He has lost. They have lost 21 consecutive games that this guy has pitched.
Wow, that is bad.
He's thrown 29 games this year, and they've lost 27 of the 29 games that he has pitched.
Talk about tough luck pitcher. That is more than a tough luck pitcher. That's a shit out of luck.
That feels like you could put. I was going to say you could put the Woo Sox out there, but honestly, the Woo Sox lineup is actually really good. So that point doesn't even really hold water. I'm just saying the Red Sox better win that game.
You know what that means?
Chris Flexen.
Do you know what that means? That means that he goes seven perfect with 12 punchies.
I know.
He pulls up Bowden Francis on us.
Good God, man.
Hey, we don't say that name anymore. Shut up, Joe.
Sorry.
Bats. You want to hear about the bats?
Oh, tell me, Gordo.
Oh, if the pitching is just as good, can't wait to see.
You have to be bad. You have to have some bad bats to be 32-109. So, Yoan Moncada has played 11 games this year. He's on the 60-day IL. We're not going to count him in this. Outside of him, they do not have a single player with an OPS over 685 for the season. That said,
it's awful. That's so bad.
That said, even though they've lost, I said it before now, what is it? It's they've lost 45 out of 51. Andrew Benintendi, who is not having a good overall season, but he has an 897 OPS in his last 25 games. Gavin Sheets has an 819 OPS over his last 25 games. The rest is not inspiring. That is the only, those two things and Davis Martin, who I'll be honest with you, I hadn't even heard of before this, but he's actually not been that bad. Those are the three things maybe that this team has going for them. Like,
you know, what's funny. It's kind of Yankee-esque where you see the two big bats, but then there's nothing else there. But the two big bats for the White Sox are extremely worse than Juan Soto and Aaron bats. Judge.
That's funny as hell. Their Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are Benny, the Benny of 2024 and Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets is their Aaron Judge.
Oh yeah, pretty comparable. Yeah.
This team is terrible. Joe, do we have a score update for predictions?
We do, actually. And you might be happy because even while you were getting married, you grabbed a point because you thought your reverse jinx would work in this series. So you predicted the sweep and they did get swept, so you got a point. Myself and Sammy thought that they would lose 2 out of 3, and Pat thought they would win 2 out of 3. So the standings remain the same with Sammy in the lead. He's got 15. Pat is in second with 12. I am in third with 10. And Gordo is still in the basement with 8.
Wow. I just am so honored that I predicted that series, right, guys? I'm so honored that I'm going to make a prediction here that the Red Sox are going to win 2 out of 3. I don't even think they're with after all I said and after all the games the White Sox have lost, I don't think they're going to sweep this series. I don't think that they're in such a terrible place that they're going to lose the series, though last series against the White Sox, they did split and go 2-2. So I wouldn't put it past them to lose it. But there's a chance that Trevor Story's coming back in the series and maybe that provides like a moral boost. And if you're getting a moral boost and you're facing the White Sox, kind of hard for me to see them losing the series. Also, by the way, I forgot to say all of the Red Sox starters were, as of the time I looked it up, were not yet announced, but just lined up that way. Let me check and see if that's changed. No, they're still, none of them are announced yet. So all of the Red Sox starters, Pivetta, Criswell, Bayo, are all just if it's lined up that way. Pat, what do you got?
I don't think they sweep either. I think they win 2 out of 3. I think they lose the first game. I think they lose the Pivetta start. I think they get lucky and Crochet's yanked early. They get to that god-awful bullpen. And then, I mean, Chris Flexen doesn't win, so the Red Sox will win that one. And Bayo's pitching, so that's about as much of a mismatch as the Sox can get right now. So 2 out of 3, they drop the first one.
I buy that, Pat. Joe, are you gonna go different, or are you gonna go with us?
I'm gonna go different, and I'm gonna take the more optimistic road, even though I was the very first one on the previous episode who said, "Yeah, the season's over." This is more indicative on the White Sox being extremely bad. I'm gonna call for the sweep here. I think they do get it done. I think what helps is having that off day where everyone can sort of reset, even though like morale is not that high. They at least have a chance to like just take a big deep breath and not have to play a game. Maybe, you know, it's like an Alex Cora situation where they come to the park late or they don't even do anything regarding baseball. They take a day, they take that off day, and they just chill and relax. And I think it'll help for this series in particular. Not saying they turn the series around or the season around with a sweep and they get themselves back in playoff contention, but hey, it gives us some joy near the end of the year. So give me the sweep.
We're literally getting texts from Sammy as we speak right now. Did he make a prediction?
He's saying Red Sox lose. I need some clarification, though, if he's saying that they're going to get swept or if they take 2 out of 3.
So. I think that probably means drop 2 out of 3, but we'll correct it if he corrects us. Looks like Sammy's predicting that they're going to lose this series 2 out of 3. So we've got picks across the board. So this will be interesting. Pat, what are we doing next, man? What do we got?
Crystal bomb.
Oh, the Pat crystal bomb thing doesn't hit the same without your mic working.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah.
It doesn't sound.
I'll be better next episode. Yeah. I'll be better.
I'll just get a crystal bomb.
Just bomb. Make sure we get it in there. Make sure we get it in there, even though it's not Pat. Standings update, which I know you'd like to know. Yeah, we all went 0-for. We all went 0-for this series. Pat, no good with Casas, Sammy, Thick Willie, Gordo, Yoshida, me, Durant. So it's still Sammy 21, Gordo 18, Pat 9, me 5.
Did they hit a home run in this series? In the series against the Mets?
No, nope. I don't. They didn't. Not at all.
Yeah, that was just, they just did not. I mean, they haven't hit it all lately.
The contention of none is back on the board.
Well, it poses the question, should you be allowed to say that the Red Sox won't hit a home run? I feel like no. But at the same time,
they're
like,
going to hit one against the White Sox.
It's the White Sox, yeah. Because even the Crochet game, like it should be a pretty short start. Like you'll have innings against their bullpen, which unsurprisingly is not good.
Yeah.
So I'll do Sammy the courtesy because I don't think you guys were going to take him. I know I wasn't. Sam is taking Connor Wong. So with that, we now will go to Gordo.
Joe, you're going to have to correct me if I've taken this guy in the last two. I want to say I haven't. I'm going to go with Jaren Duran here. I don't know who to be confident in right now. Like usually my crystal bomb picks are Devers and Casas, but both of them are not hitting very well right now. Like you could go Tyler O'Neill. But I don't know how many lefties they're going to see. I know Crochet's pitching, but again, I don't know how long he's going to pitch. Could go Thick. Like, no one's been hitting homers. I just don't feel confident in anybody. But Jaren Duran has even, like, he drove in most of the runs that the Red Sox have scored lately. I don't know.
He's the best hitter right now.
Hitter right now. I'm going to try to get a point here. I don't know if they're going to hit a home run, though. And that's, I know it's the White Sox, but just give me Jaren Duran. He's been the best player on the team all year. Give me Jaren.
Right. Joe.
Okay. gonna think here. This is, you know what? I'm gonna go with Tyler O'Neill here. I feel like, you know, the White Sox, he's a home run or strikeout kind of guy. White Sox should just serve one up on a platter for him, and he should just destroy it. So simple as that. Tyler O'Neill.
I'm stuck between two. Pat, did you pick?
No, you haven't picked.
I'm stuck between two. I've picked one guy once, and I've hit with him. I'm going to go back to the well because no one is hitting. I'm going Rob Refsnyder.
I think, yeah, you are right. You did grab a pick with him.
Pittsburgh, because I called him coming back in that series and hitting a home run. I'm going back to the well. I'm going with good friend Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah, the train agrees with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one of you guys is near the train? That's Pat? Okay, so yeah, the train.
They heard your Refsnyder pick.
I'm on the Rob Refsnyder train. Crystal bomb, baby.
It's guaranteed. The train has spoken. Rob Refsnyder is going deep. I guarantee that the Gordo guarantee on a Pat Crystal bomb pick, that is a rarity, but it's happening.
Which Rob means Refsnyder it will not happen.
No, oh, it's true. The one Gordo guarantee that I declared did not happen, which was what? Who did I say the Red? I said the Red Sox were going to lose.
Corbin Burns.
The Corbin Burns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they beat Corbin Burns. Oh, with Cooper Criswell on the mound. Unreal. Oh, better times then. That was fun.
Yeah.
Damn. No Sammy here for guys being dudes, but we're no losers except for us because we're all losers. Only winners. This guy's being dudes. Yeah.
All right, Sammy, get back here for the intro, please.
So the rules here: pick a player that's played for both the Red Sox and the White Sox. Be creative. Pat, you want to go first here?
I'll go first because I got a fun one. I'm going with 2015 trade deadline acquisition. Hit 292. Alejandro Diaza.
Ooh.
He was like one of those just not like Steve Pierce level, but just like was an under the radar, like scrap heap kind of back of the bench type. In 2015, guy came in and all he did was hit. And he played some pretty good defense in the outfield.
He's one of those guys in my head. Like, there's a lot of players that like have been really quick burns with the Red Sox, and I really like them. And in my mind, I separate them based off of whether the team was good or bad that year. So like, I really liked the Hunter Renfro experience, and he's like in the Steve Pierce territory because they were good that year. And then there's the other guys like Cody Ross, where they had like really good years, but the Red Sox weren't good. So it's like, yeah, I enjoyed you, but like it also kind of stunk. That's where Diaza is. Like, he was good for the Red Sox, but terrible season that year. Just,
yeah.
Damn, that was 2015?
Yeah, nine years ago.
That's, I honestly would have put my money on longer. Yeah.
I feel like you could get him and Rajay Davis, like their timelines mixed up. Oh, Davis was part of that 17 run. And it's like you could flip their timelines and get them confused.
Joe, who you got?
I'm going to go with well, first, let me just pass off Sammy's because he, of course, has to submit one. And he's going with the current interim manager for the White Sox, and that's Grady Sizemore, which I totally forgot that Sizemore played for the White Sox. I think he had his first ejection as manager a couple of nights ago.
Spit that Zin right out. Ran right to the umpire. Yeah,
boom, boom, right out. And then,
too, like legit swag, like he'd been managing for years.
Yeah, I've always liked him, so I hope he succeeds. He's just gonna have to get away from the White Sox. Okay, do you guys remember post 2013 World Series win? There was a position of need that the Sox needed to fill because of a departing free agent. And they had to bring in a longtime White Sox player
AJ to fill Brzezinski. That need.
You are right on the money.
Oh,
AJ,
yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Pierzynski.
One of my least favorites ever.
Yes, not a fan favorite, but a longtime White Sox. You forgot he was here for that one season with the Red Sox after 2013 when they had to replace Jared Saltalamacchia and not David Ross. He stuck around, but they went to Pierzynski, who I believe was on that 2005 World Championship team. So he left the White Sox after maybe a dozen years or so, spends one time with the Sox in that completely forgettable 2014 season, and lives in infamy in the Boston side of things. But he's one of those rare people who can say he wore both color socks.
It's interesting that you follow up a Grady Sizemore mention with Pierzynski, because there's those like rumblings that they're going to consider him to be the full-time manager next year, because Grady's just doing the interim job. So it just interesting there. I definitely enjoyed the Grady Sizemore era far more than the AJ Pierzynski era. And Grady Sizemore was not good for the Red Sox, so it says a lot.
I can count on one hand how many Red Sox players I've hated more than I hated AJ Pierzynski. And honestly, the only guy ahead of him might be Pablo Sandoval. I loathe AJ Pierzynski. I hate AJ Pierzynski.
And the thing that contributes to it so much is it's not just like a fan thing. I remember there were polls. It might have been like Sports Illustrated back in the day that like would poll big leaguers and ask them their least favorite. And AJ Pierzynski would win every single year. So it just, it makes it so easy to because it just verifies everything that you think you're seeing from the outside. I don't mean to freaking shit on AJ Pierzynski the whole time here, but like, start to finish.
Shit on AJ Pierzynski. Like fuck AJ Pierzynski.
I think at least for me, the notable one for me was when he was with the White Sox, and this was back when they could have home plate collisions. I think they were playing the Cubs, and it's a sack fly, and he runs over, I want to say it was Jason Bartlett, maybe he was catching.
Oh, no, you're
and then right. And he collides, he's safe, and then he's
Barrett, smacked. Michael Barrett.
That's Michael who I'm Barrett. Thinking. I'm thinking Michael Barrett, and he plows him over, he's safe, and to emphatically put a stamp on it, he slaps home plate, and then you got Barrett basically putting him in a bear hug, and then bam, sucker punch, and then all the bench, it just turns into madness. So
great fight.
That's the thing I remember with Pierzynski.
Yeah, that was cool. That whole incident, like Michael Barrett, like that was cool.
He was just like, right. wait, you're not going anywhere. Bam. Yeah.
All right, for mine, I'm gonna ask you guys. Mine is Tony Graffanino. How many games do you think that he played for the Red Sox?
Oh.
It had to have not been many. Like maybe a dozen?
I'm going to guess 25.
It's interesting that you guys are guessing low, because in my warped head from like when I was a kid, and this I'm sure this has everything to do with my playing MVP baseball 05 for years. But he played 51 games for the Red Sox. I would have guessed that he was the starting second baseman for a full season. I really liked him. I didn't realize he was actually as good as he was. He hit .319 with an .812 OPS, a .111 OPS plus. This was like when the Red Sox had years of just stopgap second baseman after stopgap second baseman after stopgap second baseman until eventually Dustin Pedroia solidified the position for years. But Tony Graffanino, awesome name, good ball player for the Red Sox, was definitely more known for his time with the White Sox. I don't know. He was never really a starter. The most games he ever played in a single season was 06 when he split it between the Royals and the Brewers. But yeah, cool dude. Tony Graffanino.
Hell yeah.
Can't go wrong with that one.
Any enough said from you guys before we get on out of here?
Oh, yes. Easy. Easy money. This episode will drop the day after, but happy NFL season. Football is back, baby.
Yeah, couldn't have come at a better time too.
Yes, thank you, NFL.
Yeah, and they're playing like there's Friday games. Is that like a thing?
In Brazil.
I know that there's one. Is that only week one, or is that going to be a thing throughout the season?
No, only week one. Just because they're in Brazil, so. Yeah, I'm just as happy as you are, Pat.
I can't wait to sit down This will be the first time in 7 years that I can sit down on a Sunday and not do homework while watching football. I'm excited. My legs are going to go numb because I'm just sitting on the couch so long. I can't wait.
Pat, I'll tell you.
Are you a red zone guy, or do you have one game on both stations and flipping back and forth?
The answer is both.
Yes, the answer is both. So typically on the TV is red zone. And then on my laptop, I will have, like, if the Patriots are on, I'll have that game up by itself. And then on my iPad, I'll have whoever my best fantasy player playing at the moment is.
Yeah, that's the move. I always double TV screen. Like for football Sunday, I've got a massive TV in the living room, 75 inches. I have that thing sit in front and center, and then I pull out a folding table and bring a 54 inch TV to stand on that. And so I'll go Patriots on the 75 and red zone on the 54. And then when the Pats aren't playing, I'll go red zone on the 75 and whatever local game I like better on the 54, and I'll always have fantasy up on the laptop. But Pat, I'll tell you, there was the Sundays in my first year after graduating college, when I just like didn't have last second homework and studying to do. Those first Sundays are it's unbeatable, because you're so used to like watching football with like the little thing in the back of your head that's like, hey, as soon as you're done with this, like, you got hell to pay. With that gone, oh, it's a different animal.
I'm so excited.
Do we want to throw out some Super Bowl picks? Because we're not going to be recording. Ooh, we're going to do some
like that.
The games are going to be over by the or a couple of the games for week one have been over by the time we revisit this. Because Lord knows the Patriots aren't going to make it.
And that's why my pick is the Patriots. No, I'm kidding. It's not.
Drake May for MVP.
I'll make the pick I make every year. Until they actually do it, I will continue to pick the 49ers. Let it be said, let it be done. They are going to do it this year.
Just because I don't want the Chiefs to three-peat, I'm just going to throw a wild one out there and say the Detroit Lions. I want them to break that curse so bad.
I don't hate it, Joe.
They're such a fun team to watch.
All right. I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens are a very good team this year. Derrick Henry in that offense, a healthy Lamar. The defense is already stacked. You got Roquan. You got Kyle Hamilton. You got so many guys. Harbaugh's a great coach. I'm going Baltimore. I hope they beat Kansas City in the AFC Championship game.
I still think that they didn't win the Super Bowl last year because I shit-talked Lamar Jackson over the microphone on 2K last year. That was a thing. one of the highlights of my life was saying that my now wife, Marissa, called him ugly. I told him, and he heard it and then responded.
I mean, technically you didn't. It was Marissa who did, so... He didn't really shit talk you. He shit talked Marissa.
No, honestly, he didn't really even shit talk. He took it like a champ. I was like mad impressed. He was on the, like, most of the time, like, if you're playing in the 2K park, which, by the way, that dropped, I think, sometime this week. So I'll be getting back in there, hopefully play Lamar Jackson again. But like, you can like play athletes and stuff, and usually they're like in their own parties. So, like, you can play against them, but they're not going to hear what you're saying. But Lamar just like wasn't in a party, so he was just like talking. It was great. But yeah, I was mad shit talk Lamar. The guy who shit talked back the most, you guys know Kenneth Lofton, the basketball player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge asshole. Like, we were shit talking. He's like, I got more money than you guys, you know. I got more money than you.
That's a fact. So,
like, I guess, bro, but you're in the G League. Like, all right. Like,
that is Kenny Lofton's kid, right?
No, it's not. It's not.
What?
It's not. They have no relation. There's no relation.
you just blew Pat's mind with that one.
I'm dead serious. Look it up. Joe, you give your enough said. Pat, look up if they're related.
I gladly will. And it kind of relates in the football side of things. Well, I don't know about you guys. The Sox kind of depressed me a little bit. Patriots a little bit too. Not high expectations. But luckily, there's a team that we totally forgot of that's saving the day in the world of Boston sports. And that's my man, Billy O, and the Boston College Eagles. How about them putting the whooping on Florida State, knocking Florida State out of that AP 25, They took Florida State's lunch money and then took their friend's lunch money. They ran over Florida State. They pounded the ball with the rushing attack in their throat. And it has not been since the Matt Ryan days that I am excited to see a season of Boston College football. I totally forgot they even existed, but Bill O'Brien has installed a brand new culture and hopefully a winning culture down there at Alumni Stadium for Boston College. So shout out to the Eagles for getting things done.
I'll be in Chestnut Hill this weekend watching some BC football.
I'm happy for you guys.
Take care of Duquesne.
I'm happy for you guys who love college sports and get out of bed. I can't do it. Like go BC. Like if I had to, yeah, sure. I'm happy for you guys. I want to root for them because I know most of you, like you guys and most of my friends from around the area like them. I can't get out of bed for college sports, but go get them, Joe.
I just looked up the whole Kenneth Lofton, Kenny Lofton.
Okay.
Kenneth Lofton Sr., Kenneth Lofton's father, is a veteran. Thank you for your service. And spent 18 years as a mailman. So not the MLB player.
Close. Very confirmed. Close.
Very. Yep.
So my enough said before we get on out of here. So I'm recording this episode and all these episodes for the next couple weeks from my own honeymoon. All right. And I've got a hotel room we've got our own private pool out here. All right. So my plan for watching football, we've got two computer screens. We're going to put them on the outside of the pool, multi-screen, watching these games, just like chilling in the pool, all included. So we'll have like free drinks, free beers, just order room service, fries, like everything just delivered. I'm going to be a hippopotamus by the time this thing is done. Oh, I can't. I'm excited, man.
Dude, you picked the perfect time. You picked the perfect time to get married and to schedule your honeymoon on the first weekend of football season.
Yeah, I have to figure out how I'm actually going to get the Patriots game because the league pat or what's it called? Sunday ticket. The Sunday ticket shit is like it's like a arm and a leg to get it. I'll find some sort of illegal stream.
You're telling me that all the Dominican people down there aren't as loving of the Patriots as they are the Red Sox?
Oh, so we were at a sports bar tonight and Dominican ESPN is awesome because like it's just baseball and like some soccer, but like it's just a shit ton of baseball. Like they were talking about like baseball games that happened like 23 and a half hours prior. Like we don't get any ESPN talk about baseball that happened on the Sunday night game. Like they'll talk about it for 10 minutes. They'll talk about it for 30 seconds and then go on to NFL NBA stuff. Like here they're showing like Francisco Lindor hitting bombs off the Sox. Like this is baseball.
Yeah. When I was in Punta Cana, I was there for games 3 and 4, I think, of the NBA finals. And we also were at a sports bar and they had like movie theater seats. Every guy in there was rocking an Al Horford jersey crazy. It was sick.
That's awesome.
Hey, they love their sports. What can you say?
Shout out Al Horford for being. I don't know how many Dominican NBA players there are. I'm going to learn so much DR shit this week.
Carl Anthony Towns.
He's Dominican too?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. That's cool. But yeah. Awesome couple weeks ahead for your boy, but appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully the next time that you tune in, the Red Sox will be coming off a sweep of the Chicago White Sox, which I believe Joe, you picked, right? You picked a sweep. Yeah. So Joe picked the sweep. He was the only one. I hope you're right, Joe. I hope we get the sweep, but thank you guys for tuning in for episode 125 of Playtesting. Before you go about your day, remember hit that subscribe button, wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, rate 5 stars, all that, multiple platforms. Do it because it helps us out so much. You'll also get those notifications when episodes drop, which helps you out a ton. So everyone wins when you subscribe. Also on YouTube on the WEEI channel, we've got the Playtesty playlist there. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos, and that also helps us out a ton. As always, you can find us on the socials at Playtesty on both Twitter and Instagram. For Pat and for Joe, it's Gordo here. for Play Tessie episode 125. Under a month left in the season. Oh, we'll get to offseason stuff when it matters. I promise we will have so much good talk. But, and Sammy just texted us that he did mean that the Sox will lose 2 out of 3. So confirmed. But till next time, till post White Sox series pod, this has been episode 125 of Play Tessie. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.